2013 was, for many of us, the worst year of our lives. But I have good news for you. 2013 is almost over. And I have some good news for you. God is all about new beginnings. Well, God is all about new beginnings. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I want to invite you to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to quickly look at two verses. Isaiah chapter 43, as we remind ourselves that God is all about new beginnings. 2014 is just around the corner and things are going to start in a new way. If you think about it, throughout the Bible, we're introduced to that very important characteristic of God, that He is all about new beginnings. How does the Bible begin? In the beginning. It starts introducing us to the fact that God is all about beginnings. In the beginning, God. And so it starts there, and very quickly we see that He brings a flood that kind of wipes out mankind. But the story of Noah is not really just about the boat and the critters. It's also about the rainbow. It's also about the new beginning. That when everything dried up, there was new life and a new opportunity. And then we remember how God took His people out of Egypt. And as they walked through the wilderness, they knew they were headed someplace. They were headed to the promised land. And sure enough, at the right time, He brought them into the promised land, and they were able to begin again. David may be one of the greatest examples that we have in Scripture of someone who had every opportunity in life and yet squandered it for his own sin. And yet even David, in that great, terrible sin of his, even David was able to come back to God and say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore a new spirit within me." And David was given a new beginning. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the prophet looks over the valley and he sees in the valley just piles of dried up dead bones. And then those dried up dead bones come alive. And it was in that vision that he understood that God had a new beginning planned for His people. When we get into the New Testament, Jesus meets His disciples and He says, "Hey, you guys over there who are fishing, you follow me, because I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to give you a new beginning. We're going to start over. We're going to do life in a new way." We know that God is a God of new beginnings because of the examples of the people in the Scriptures. Ask Zacchaeus about new beginnings. Ask the woman at the well about new beginnings. Ask the centurion who stood at the foot of the cross about new beginnings. You see, God is a God of new beginnings. Jesus even tells stories about new beginnings. The prodigal son, as we call it, is the story of the one who rejected the father and went his own way and did his own thing. And then it says, but then he came to himself and he returned and was given not a place of service with the other slaves, but he was given a place of honor as a son. He was given a new beginning. And then we get over toward the end of the Gospels, and we're reminded of how Jesus died on the cross. But then what happened? He died on Friday, but He came back to life, and we saw the empty tomb on Sunday. A new beginning. And then Paul tells us that when we accept that risen Christ into our lives, that we get that new beginning. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "Hey guys, you are a new creature in Him." That once you become a Christian, once you really trust Christ, He makes you into a new creature. There's a new beginning. In Revelation 21, we're told about the new heaven and the new earth. That in this new heaven, this place in which we have a place prepared for us, there's a place with no pain, no sorrow, no mourning, no tears, because it says the nature of the old things, or the way things used to be, has passed away. You see, it's new beginnings. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about new beginnings. That's the kind of God we serve. He's in the beginning business, if you will. And I want us to think about that as we look forward to 2014. Understanding that much of our looking forward to 2014 is looking forward to getting out of 2013. Let me show you in Isaiah 43, our God of new beginnings. Starting in verse 18, he says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Now you and I both know that that text was not written specifically for the city of West as we end 2013. It was written for the people of God. Isaiah was talking to Israel. They had once again disobeyed and had once again been separated from God because of their sin. But the promise is God's not going to leave you there. The promise to his people is, I'm starting something new. I'm going to give you a new beginning. And so while we know it was really written for them, we also know that that speaks to the character of the God we serve. And so we know that he is a God who gives new beginnings. And so he says to them, and I think to us, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm beginning a new thing. I'm convinced that God is beginning a new thing. I know he has begun a new thing in my life and in my family. I think he's beginning a new thing in our community. He's beginning a new thing in our church. It's amazing if we stop long enough to listen hard enough, to pay attention close enough, if we stop to perceive, he says, do you not perceive it? If we stop long enough to pay attention, we're going to recognize that there's a revival breaking out. That God is at work in our lives, in our church, and in our community. He is beginning something new. 2014 is going to be a good year. To help it be a good year, to help us move forward and recognize the new beginning that he's bringing, I want to suggest three things. First, look forward, not back. Look forward, not back. He says here, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And that's a common message in Scripture as well. You remember when Lot and his wife are leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, and the point is, you leave, you walk away, we're going to start something new. Don't dwell on the past. They're told not to look back. Lot's wife looks back, right? And what happens to her? She becomes a what? A pillar of salt. Yeah. She looks back. Why? It's not a petty little thing, a test to see if she can obey every little detailed law and order. No, it was about her heart. She wanted to stay there. She wanted to go back. She longed for that. And God said, I've got something new for you. You can't be looking back and looking forward. I just want you to look forward. And she looked back. Just the same thing with the people of Israel as they wandered through that wilderness, as they're headed toward a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet, time and time again, all they could think about was the stuff that they used to have back in Egypt when they were slaves. All they could think about was the food we used to have back then. And at least we had a roof over our head. All they could do was think back, and because they kept thinking back, they were held up in their journey forward. And so Jesus says in the Gospels that One who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that's a harsh thing to say. But those of you who've used a plow understand the point. If you're going to use that plow, you got to figure out how to make it go straight. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll pick out a spot. Of course, I know we don't use these plows anymore, but you get the point. What they did do was they would pick out a spot way over yonder, and they'd aim at that spot, and they'd keep looking forward as they plowed toward that spot. Because if I'm plowing this way, but I'm looking over my shoulder, there's no way I'm gonna go straight. There's no way I'm going to wind up where I need to be. And so Jesus says, if you put your hand to the plow, in other words, if you say you're going to be my disciple and follow me, but you look back and you keep longing for your old life, you're not really my disciple, so you're not fit for the kingdom. A true disciple is willing to walk away from the old, hold on to the new, and move forward with Christ. So he says, you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Paul, later in the New Testament, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. In order to press on and to look forward, he had to stop looking back. Look forward, not back. Not that we ignore what we've been through, but we just acknowledge that we have already been through it. Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. But notice the point. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I'm going to keep walking, and I'm going to get through the valley because he's with me. We'll never forget what has happened to our community and to our families and to our friends and our lives. It'd be silly for me to say forget that. But we don't have to dwell there. We don't have to live in that place. Here, our text says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. It's not that we ignore what we've been through. It's just that we acknowledge that we have made it through. Every year, on the Sunday after the 17th, from now on, every year, on the Sunday after the 17th, we're going to have church outside in the field on the south end of town. Because that's how we were able to worship that first Sunday. As you remember, we couldn't get into the building. And folks are saying, are we going to have church? And we said, yes. Don't know how, but we're having church. Because we're family. And we need each other at a time like that more than ever before. And beyond that, because God is still God and he's always worthy of our worship regardless of our circumstances. For those two reasons, we were determined to have church. And so we set up chairs outside in the field on the south part of town where we could come and go. And we had a wonderful, beautiful worship time together. We're going to continue to do that every year. Because it's important for us to remember. It's important for us to recognize where we were and where we are and how God has taken care of us. But we remember those things as a way to celebrate that we've come through them, not so that we dwell on them and stay there. We are not defined by our disaster. We are defined by our response to it. We are not victims stuck in our disaster, but we are survivors moving beyond it. As Mandisa would say, we are overcomers. As Paul would say, we are more than conquerors. 2013 is behind us. God is starting something new, and we're ready to look forward, not back. The second thing that I would say to you in order to move forward and make the most of 2014, take what you've learned with you. Take what you've learned with you. That Sunday morning that we had that worship time outside was perhaps one of the most I think I could say it's one of the most difficult times of sermon preparation that I've ever had. As you can imagine, as you know, we were extremely busy from the night it happened for many days and weeks. And yet, I knew that I had to stand in front of folks and have something to say on that Sunday morning. And so in the midst of the busiest, most confusing and difficult time of my life, I had to figure out something that we could say, something that was scriptural that would move us forward. And in that preparation, God spoke to me in a way that I usually don't experience on such a personal level. And he said, it doesn't really, I say he said, you understand, this was the sense that I got. It's not that big a deal what words you use. The point that you need to make is that I'm big enough to deal with this. And that became, God is bigger than all of this. And we talked about that Sunday morning. Some of the media picked up on that and carried that message throughout the nation. That God is bigger than all of this. Well, that Sunday morning, it was just struggling to find something to say. But what happened over the next days and weeks and months after that was that I discovered that it's true. God is bigger than all of this. And he has provided for us every step along the way. Step by step, brick by brick, family by family, home by home, he has demonstrated that he is faithful. Remember to take what you've learned with you, that God is bigger than all of this. So no matter what we face in 2014, no matter what we face in the years to come, that truth will still remain with us. We've already learned it experientially. Now we can face the rest of our lives with that confidence. Whatever I'm facing, God is bigger than all of this. We also learned that life is about people and not property. That's one of those things that you know intellectually. You know life is not about your stuff. But it's something completely different when you learn it experientially. Instead of just words and thoughts, when it becomes an experience, you learn it on a whole new level. And that's a lesson that we need to take with us for the rest of our lives. Life is about people and not property. We spend so much of our life building and protecting property. Perhaps we need to learn from 2013 that our biggest investments need to be in people instead of property. We also learned through our experience that community counts. In other words, we need each other. We need each other. We have learned to depend on each other and to work together. Community counts. It was so encouraging early on to hear how the media reported about our community, how they said things like how resilient we are, how strong we are, how united we are. The media reported to the world that our community took care of each other. And we were going to get through this thing because of it. Community counts. We need each other. That's going to be true in 2014 as well. And 2015. And 2016. And on until Jesus comes back. You need your neighbor. You need your friends. You need your church family. This church family needs the church family at the Catholic Church and at the Methodist Church and at the Brethren Church and at the Church of Christ and at the Assembly of God and every other church in town. We need each other. Community counts. Take with you what you've learned. God is bigger than all of this. Life is about people and not property. Community counts. And then take with you for the rest of your life what we have discovered, that God is good and West is blessed. God is good every day, and He's blessing us in so many ways. Don't fail to notice those blessings. By the way, one of the reasons that people fail to see blessings is because they have ingrown eyeballs. If all you can do is look at me, you wind up missing the blessings that God is bringing. God is good, and West is blessed. Look forward, not back. Take what you've learned with you, and then start over and move forward. Start over and move forward. I'm telling you, there's some great things beginning to happen. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In 2014, we're going to see some neat things happening. We're going to be able to move forward in some big ways. Building is going to continue. Every couple of weeks, we see a new house getting started. We see the houses that have begun making tremendous progress. One of these days, before too long, there's going to be a new house at 304 Northridge Circle. I don't know when, but we're going to get there. And ours is just one of many new houses, new things being built. Soon we'll have a new nursing home. And before long, it's going to be fully staffed and full of residents being cared for again. Soon, and we're going to see a lot of work in 2014 towards this, soon we're going to have new schools built on one beautiful campus, in which we have the elementary school on that part of town. Everybody else goes to that part of town. We've got the high school. We've got the middle school. We've got athletic complex. It's all going to start happening very soon. In 2014, we're going to see construction continue. We're going to see a new park built. We're going to see at least one, and probably more than one, memorial established to remember those who gave their lives to protect us. We're going to see economic recovery take place, as we've already brought in experts who are going to guide us through how to recover economically. They're already here. They're already looking at every aspect of our community and figuring out what we need to do to become a stronger, more stable, healthier community. We're moving forward. Even here in our own church in 2014, you're going to see a lot of changes. A lot of things are going to be updated and renovated. We don't need to look like a church that's stuck in the 1970s. And we're going to fix that. We're going to clean up a lot of things. We're going to redecorate. We're going to remodel. This part of the church will take on a whole new look that will express to our community that we are in the here and now, and we care about this community, and we want them to feel welcome when they come. We're doing some great things, and God is working in some marvelous ways. One of the other things that I want to see in 2014, and I need your help, one of the other things that we need to move forward in our community is the competition between the churches needs to stop. We don't need any more talk about what the Baptists did versus what the Catholics did versus what the Methodists did, because I want to tell you something. Anything good that was done by God's grace and His power through His people for His purposes, period. Let's help our community get past that. 2013 was a time where we discussed what the Baptists did. Let's make 2014 the time where we talk about what God is doing. From the beginning, we said we want to find ways to give God the glory. That's why we talk to media, because it's a chance to tell our story and give God the glory. That's why we allowed the media there at that first worship time, because it was a chance to tell our story and give God the glory. In 2014, I'm hoping that I'm going to have opportunity to speak in other churches and go tell our story to other places. And each time we do, we're going to be careful to give God the glory for what He's doing. I hope that you'll join me in sharing that message with our community. It's about what God did. We want to give Him the glory for what He's doing. Let's start over. Let's move forward. God is ready to begin a new thing, and you and I are going to be blessed to be a part of it. God is all about new beginnings. That's His character. He makes things new. What about you personally? We've talked about the community. We've talked about the church. We've talked about the future. What about you personally? Since God is in the business of making things new, have you ever trusted Him enough to let Him do something new in your life? Have you come to the point where you said, I've lived my life my way, and I've made a mess of it, and now I need to trust Jesus? Have you ever come to the point where you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, to give you a new start, a new life? He's all in the business about new beginnings. Isn't it time you had one? Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for new beginnings. We thank You that You love us enough to allow us to start over. Father, we thank You for the opportunities ahead. We pray that You'd help us to make the most of every opportunity You give us. Father, we pray now that You'd help each one of us individually to be able to open our eyes and to perceive the new things that You're doing around us. Help us to see the blessings that You've brought and the new things that You're beginning. As we do, though, as we recognize those things, we'll see that You are indeed faithful, that You're indeed bigger than all this, and so we can trust You. We ask that You'd help us to trust You, to make a commitment to You if it's time to do that. We ask Your guidance during this time in Jesus' name.